I'm going to be getting, I went to the eye doctor on Monday. It was really good. I went through a barrage of tests that took over 2 hours to go through all the tests and everything. And they did tests on my eyes that I never heard of before. But the short of it is that my right eye is in really bad shape as far as the cataract is concerned. But that's the only problem with it. And so, yeah, I'm a very, very good candidate because my eyes are in excellent shape except for the cataracts. And the left one is bad enough that it can be operated on as well. And yeah. I heard that a lot on Monday, and I was very pleased every time someone said that. Well, you're so young, and I just don't hear that very much. Dr. Michael Kelly at the Kelly Eye Center over near Briar Creek. And
I don't want to bust your bubble, but I had a pediatric ophthalmologist say that the youngest person he had ever had was 12 with cataract.
Oh, well, yeah.
So that it's not that uncommon.
Right.
But
well,
you're young.
Yeah, and so we're going to have that done on, I'm to go in tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and sign some papers and stuff. But the right eye is scheduled for the 28th of September. That's on a Wednesday. And I don't have a lot of, I can't do a lot of choosing. I can't be real choosy if I want it done soon. And so I have to get it done on a Wednesday. And I think I have to take a lot of care with it for the first day or so or whatever. But Cecil and I were talking before class. This is going, and then the soonest he wants to do the other one is 3 weeks, between 3 and 4 weeks. So the other one will be done, my left one will be done in the last week of October. Yeah. Well, I won't be up in the valley that week. It's not when I'm in the valley. So, but I am going to have this one really good eye and one eye that I think is good, but. Yeah. I mean, it's great.
Yes.
They're not as good as the lenses God gave me, but they say they're pretty outstanding. I won't ever have to worry about cataracts the rest of my life. So, yeah. So that's good. So I'm looking forward to that and maybe not having to wear glasses anymore. Maybe reading glasses, yeah. So and since I kind of in a position where I use my eyes a little bit, I think that's probably a good thing to get done. So that's going to be coming up, and I'm not sure we're going to kind of leave it loose as to if it gives me problems to be able to get back in the swing of things right away or not. I don't know. We may have to curtail things a little bit. I just don't know until I get into it. Maybe nothing will happen, hopefully. But anyway, that's the news as far as the eyes go, and looking forward to getting new eyes. I was coming in tonight, and I told Cindy, I said, does it look like it's really hazy, like a fire has just taken place?
And, yeah.
And so he did tell me that he said, you think your left eye is good because of how bad your right eye is, but he said, actually, your left eye is not in all that good a shape either. I did find out one thing, though, and it was the easiest thing in the world to find out. It was the cheapest test that they gave me. You just hold up this piece of cardboard. And I found out that I'm left eye dominant. And I never knew that before. If I'd have known that, I'd have shot differently when I did my concealed carry. The lady who gave me the test, she said, I was in the Navy and I didn't find out I was left eye dominant until after I was in the Navy, and then I figured out why I didn't get marksman on my shooting and stuff and her qualifications. Anyway, all right, anything else that you'd like to make the assembly aware of tonight? I do know that the folks there at Twin Cities Fellowship, where Josh Strelecki is, have received some of the books, and he shot me a little email today and said that he's had a few of them come up and say they can't put it down. And so they really are enjoying it. And so it's beneficial to those folks as well. All right. Not good. Oh, okay. Steve's asking you what her name is. You going over? Is that Duke in Durham? Yeah. Well, you might see Doug. He probably won't, but he works there. He does all the food part of it. And Katie Shepherd didn't work there at Duke? Oh, okay. Well, so does Catherine, Jake's fiance. She's a nurse over there. So, all right. Well, yeah. Well, thanks for letting us know that. Anything else then?
In reference to Kenneth's book, I was reading through it today, and it hit me what we've been studying. The last thing that you said was talking about a plant to clothe itself and leaves. The way God's word grows, and one of the examples he had given was, like a growing plant, we make an impact on our environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his dad used that analogy with me a lot, and talked about the roots and the trunk and the branches and how the curriculum just provides for all that. So, yeah. Yeah, I have something else from that book that I might mention tonight too. But anyway, let's get ourselves started. If there's nothing else, you know where we are. So if you would please once again open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Romans 13, verse 14. Just read that one verse tonight. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And we'll get ourselves back underway after a word of prayer. Andrew, would you lead us in prayer, please? All right. Before we move on, and this may take 5 minutes, it may take the whole class, but I want to do this before we move on to the next phrase. As we finish that first phrase, and since there's just a few of us here tonight, this should be rather easy and rather fun, and I hope beneficial. But I was thinking about this. I don't want you to be looking at I did a couple things intentionally. One of the things I intentionally did was I didn't put on the board a lot of things that I said on Sunday, because some of it is, you know, it's important that you are able to take the words that are written on the page of God's Word and let those words guide your thinking and your thoughts and put together concepts and precepts and let the doctrine work itself out through that curriculum. And so what I want you to have an opportunity to do tonight is, and I know I thought, well, I'll tell you this on Sunday and then you can work on it. And I thought, how many times has that worked? A few, but by and large, most people don't. I know it's been a long day, and I know that Wednesday night Bible classes are tough because we're coming in here after a hard day doing something, and your mind has been on other things, and you've had problems all during your day and all those kinds of things. So I want you to just relax. There's no pressure. This is not a test. Don't think of me tonight as, oh, the pastor's trying to fish out something from me or anything along those lines. But I do think it's important, and there's no word restrictions. Use all the words you want. But you need to be able to adequately answer the question, what does it mean? And without going into hours and hours of it, but to be able to concisely say, whether it's in a few words or a few many words, but to be able to say what it means when verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know what that means, the rest of this isn't going to make a bit of difference. And this is what's so critical, because this is where your defensive ability comes from to be able to be successful on the battlefield. So I would say that as a premium in this body of information, this is one of the things that you've got to be able to put your finger on and say, that's what it is. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 13, 14, is what?
I heard the whole lesson, but for me it was the filter through which I take the words that I'm learning and use them.
The filter? Okay.
I know you said a lot, but I cannot say that.
I don't want you to say what I said, necessarily. I want you to...
I'm installing it. It's
okay.
A system that I'm going to use to verbalize and to use the curriculum. So that's my...
study. Okay.
It's installed.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that. Like other things, when I see it from your viewpoint, usually it clicks. But I'm going to let it go for now. But and that's, I really can't say if that's good or not, because I don't know.
You didn't understand really what I said.
Yeah.
This is what I installed.
Okay.
So I can use that armor of light and make it shine.
Okay.
In this part of the curriculum, that she can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to function. Yes, thank you, Katie. You should understand.
Okay. All right. All right.
It's a response. It's the godly response, that word to have, to the lust
it's what we're to do as opposed to the natural lust of the flesh, which would instead we're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in that specific context, knowing that we cast off the works of darkness, knowing the response that the adversary has been given us with evil men that are trying to incite these lusts in us. When the lust starts, we'll do what Barney said, nip it in the bud. But the way we're going to nip it in the bud is we're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in that context.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And you know, when you took us back to John and the Word, He is the Word, and that these are the words in this particular context that we're using. These are the words that are Jesus Christ because He is the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Okay.
I think it's reaching a point of attainment and that we've been pursuing since when we trace it all the way back to Romans 6, but in particular I've got in our way the curriculum of the conformity to Jesus Christ, the conformity of His image. And that's what we're working for, is when we get to this point where we're being told to put Him on. We've gone through instruction in which it's developed within us a spirit, truly. And all, every sense of that it's a spirit. And it's the thinking, it's the mindset, it's all of the characteristics of the Spirit, per se, but now that's been fleshed out a lot more. You're still minding all of those things, but now you have that Spirit developed in you to a point where now you can truly, honestly begin doing things based upon that Spirit that's been developed in you. And you can now take that and begin to act.
Yeah, that's very sound. Everything you're saying is good.
And you said we are at the point in our curriculum where we can use our discretion and understanding that
mm-hmm.
we have God.
Yep.
And that is the point where whatever comes our way, we can use these two characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
That we have installed in us or change our inner spirit.
Yep, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's part of it.
I listen.
Yep. You know, and I'm not going to stop here because I want to hear from everybody, if you will. But it's not easy, is it, to take that phrase and describe it in a very concise way. And I want to encourage you on something. That is a great exercise. Whether you do any, I would encourage you, when we go through certain things like this, and you get we get to the point where we're moving past a phrase that is very critical like that, you ought to sit down at your computer or just take a pen and paper, and as if somebody was sitting across from you who had no idea what that was, can you tell them and write it, force yourself to write it. And if it gets page after page, then stop and say, do it again, only with fewer words. And keep condensing it until you, and what that's doing, that's forcing you to go through an exercise to be able to put thought together and to examine what you're thinking visually, see if it fits with what the Word of God says, and make adjustments in it. And it's unfair to you for me to come in here tonight and put you through this to some degree, because it takes time to put your thoughts together, to get your thoughts together. So don't think that I'm sitting up here thinking, oh, well, everything's gone wrong. I'm not thinking that at all. But you have to be able to do this. I mean, this is part of the work that's involved in this kind of a curriculum. And this is one of probably many times that we'll stop and do this, but you need, this is a time where me as a pastor, I'm able to say, all right, we've just come through a huge amount of instruction to get to this point, and to check you and make sure that you're able to articulate what this is. Because you cannot put into action what you cannot put into your mind. You can't do it. You've got to be able to think it first. And what I'm hearing is good. I'm hearing you struggle, which is natural. I did too. Anybody else want to give it a shot? I talk a little bit to give you a little more time to put some thoughts together. Yeah, that's a great thought. Yeah, that's a great connection, because that's very true. That's all of this is going to get built upon and usable for us in that time. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Good. Like I said, there's no real downside here unless you come along and say, well, it has something to do with the rapture or something like that. I'm going to have to say, well, where in the world did you get that? But
I don't know if you just sum it up in saying this way, but there's a lot behind saying this, but it's choosing to use and put on display the power of God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Yep, there is a lot behind that. Anybody else?
I think you take it. Thank you, Marty. Sort of a short summary would be all those things we have learned in regard to the foundation of these skills that are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just thinking, living them and laboring with those and where we're at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of stuff.
I think that's where, and that's really where your judgment comes in.
Yeah. Yep. We can't get away from that either, because this is all teaching us about godly judgment. Okay. Anybody want to add anything to what they said or to what somebody else said?
No, now it's time. Every time we're faced with a case or a tribulation or whatever, is to put what we have learned here into action and into my thought so I can solve it through this, not something else. So
that's what you meant by a filter?
Yes.
Okay. I knew in time I'd figure you out.
I have reached a point now where I can use this in certain things that happen. So I have a new manual that has been added to me.
Yeah.
It will take me a long time to articulate it. I told you last time.
Yeah.
Articulation.
Right.
Of the thought is there. It's really installed. And now I want just that ability to express it.
Right. Yeah, and that's the trouble I have and have had for my whole life is to be able to, you know, and when you articulate something, you cannot, that's why I say this is a really good exercise, because you cannot verbalize what you don't understand. And it's interesting, I used to do this with Keith all the time. He'd ask me to explain something, explain my understanding of something, and I would go for 5 minutes, and I would run out of thoughts, and as I was running out of thoughts, my verbiage started trailing off, and it was like, well, and he could tell that, okay, if that's where you've now run out of thought, because you can't say anything more about it, and that's why, I guess, for 10 years or more with him, that exercising of that is probably one of the most valuable things that I actually got out of our relationship together for all those years. And now that he's gone, that's why I was going to teach this next passage tonight, and then I sat and I thought, what if... I was looking back through my notes, and I realized I didn't really come up with a summary statement or a concise statement of what putting on the armor, not putting on the armor of light, but what putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so I thought it'd be a good idea, especially before we have a little bit of a break here, to kind of probe you a little bit and prod you a little bit to really start doing this, to sit down. I can remember the very first time I came across Right Division, I had a member of my family ask me about it, and I emailed them what my understanding was, and that was really my first time of writing down something with a view to getting that concisely explained to someone who had no idea what I was talking about. And so this is another one of those exercises, and it is hard to do. What I put down and what I wrote about it is more than what I'd be able to put on the board. But it is on just one piece of paper. I was able to hold myself to that. It's just me. I mean, if you want a copy of it, you're welcome to it. But, and about everything everybody's saying is right, but if I were to say, well, what we should do with everything that you've said, like Keith used to do with me, we need to now kind of corral that thinking. Because we went to the creature and we were dealing with a lot of other things. And the thing that I would try to say that when you do this, and if you do write something down, compare it to the Word of God. And it's got to fit within that context. I think there's 8 words, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 words in that first phrase, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those words, as well as the 7 in the next phrase, and make not provision for the flesh, and the last 5 words, to fulfill the lust thereof, every one of those words, no matter how big it is or how little it is, every single one of those words is governed by verses 11, 12, and 13. Every one of those words. So every what I'm hearing tonight is absolutely fine. It's the natural thing that I'd expect to hear, because we went back and we looked at a lot of stuff, and we went back and we made connections with an awful lot of things. But what we now need to do is corral that down into, let me ask you this, can just any Christian put on the Lord Jesus Christ like that? There you go. That's right. This is something that no believer can just come along who doesn't know anything except they're saved. Open Romans chapter 13, look at verse 14, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ like that. It's impossible, because that's putting him on in a very particular way. And a lot of the things that were said tonight, the conformity issue, that's a big issue. We've now reached the point of attainment issue, that's a big issue. One thing that I did hear mentioned, but didn't hear it from everybody, and it should have been one of the biggest issues, that is our defense for our armor of light. That's what it is. That is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew, you talked about grace and there's an awful lot that goes into that. Well, there's an awful lot that goes into that little statement. But that's really what this is. This is defending the components of our armor of light. Whenever the adversary starts to take advantage of us, this is how we don't get victimized or get him to take advantage of us. This has to be kept within the context of a battle, of the battle that we're dealing with now with the adversary. So, anybody got any other things they want to add? Right, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I worked with that thermometer so much. You got to keep that. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping that at its totality of that godly disdain.
And when we succumb to a lust, we go back to this, and this is how we take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, but again, here's what we got to do. What kind of lust? When that talks about to fulfill the lust thereof, and the flesh and the lust that it's talking about here, what's governing the word lust? Exactly. Yeah. It's the works of darkness. We're not talking about dealing with personal sin when it occurs, even though this is a personal sin. You see what I'm saying? And this is a really, really good class to follow up with the other class on, because those sins and that kind of sinning, we've been dealing with that properly as God our Father taught us all along. But we've now run up against something here we've never been up against before. We're now dealing with an intelligent understanding of the works of darkness and what they are. And those have some particular points in our inner man, in sin in our members, that they can go after and try to generate a particular lust to bring it into fruition and to allow us to get us to give power over to that and to begin to consent to that and to be able to lower and dim our light in connection with it. Everything has to do with that light. Everything here has to do with that light. Everything here has to do with that battle. Everything here has to do with those works of darkness and what the adversary is trying to do with them to keep his night in its far spent status. You go through an exercise like this and you really find out how a day can sap your thinking. Can't you? I mean, it can. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You have not been gone after. You have not been opposed and resisted by evil men doing the adversary's bidding where these works of darkness are concerned until now. Nope. Now you know. And now you know what they are to the adversary. We didn't know that before. We just knew they were really bad sins. But now we know what he's doing with them. And we know that we can expose that, have an impact upon him and the angelic world. And that's one of the operations our Father wants the church, the body of Christ, to put on display in the dispensation of his grace. Is that we're leaving all the business end of the wrath is still in his hands. It's not in ours. We don't dispense any wrath. But we get the privilege of putting on display his vehement disdain and his contempt and his hatred and his soon judgment and zeal to soon judge those works of darkness because of what they are in the hands of the adversary. Yeah, we got to come back. I kind of sensed that's what we're going to have to do tonight. We need to come back to those issues now and say, okay, underpinning us and holding us up and giving us the ability to put on the Lord Jesus Christ like this and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof certainly requires our previous understanding of what we've gone through in godly sanctification. But this, even though it requires it, this is a whole different game. A professional baseball player plays essentially the same game that a little leaguer does. But it is a different game. I mean, it's a whole different world than how a little leaguer views playing the game of baseball. And so what I'm saying, that's just an illustration. All analogies and illustrations break down. But the fact of the matter is, we run the risk of covering so much that we've lost sight of now what exactly this is. We need to be able to come back and say, all right, well, I can look back that corridor and see what all my Father has done to bring me to this point, but it's what's right in front of me now that is going to describe and define putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah. This is sonship in where the rubber meets the road. Yeah. Okay. You want me to read what I wrote? Well, I couldn't get it. Maybe if I worked on it some more, I could condense it down even more than this. But this is what I've got. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is the issue of taking the sound doctrine of Romans 13:11-13 that has further conformed us to the image of God's Son, and by its effectual work defend my armor of light from being dimmed or put out by the adversary and his policy of evil. In a nutshell, that's how I would articulate it. That putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is the issue of taking that information of Romans 13:11-13 that now has conformed me, that's that advanced attainment, to the image of God's Son, and by its effectual work, there's your by grace through faith, by its effectual work, defend my armor of light from being dimmed or put out by the adversary and his policy of evil. Because that's what I'm now engaged in. So I further go on. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is to have set in my human spirit. You'll see that all the things you've been talking about tonight, I hit on all of these. It's good. It's going on in my mind. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is to have set in my human spirit, my mind, the grace-provided power of all that has been attained at this point in my sonship education and edification, that when responded to positively and properly gives me the capacity to make godly judgments regarding doing battle with the adversary and his policy of evil in light of the dispensational timing of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, that's a wordy one. But that's more wordy than the first paragraph. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to have set in my human spirit the grace-provided power of all that has been attained at this point in my sonship education and edification, that when I respond to that information positively and properly, gives me the capacity. In other words, I'm not giving it myself. It's not my work. It's not my energy. It gives me the capacity to make godly judgments regarding doing battle with the adversary and his policy of evil in light of the dispensational timing of this dispensation of the grace of God. In other words, the whole issue of the night is far spent, the day is at hand. This operation of God's grace, which is what it is, I think some of you mentioned that tonight. It's what it is, an operation of God's grace, includes the knowledge of what the works of darkness are and how the adversary utilizes them to the advantage of his night. That's part of what's required to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes a knowledge of what the works of darkness are and how the adversary utilizes them to the advantage of his night. It includes knowledge of the subversive tactics and methodology of the adversary and his policy of evil that will attempt to dim my light. Right? It includes that. We now know his tactics, his method, subversion, vexing, beguiling. That's going to attempt to dim my light. It includes knowledge of sin in my members and how lust-based enticements will tempt and attempt to involve me in the works of darkness. Doesn't involve understanding how sin in my members is going to work to just produce any old lust, to get me to sin in any old way, like just random sinning. Not that that's to be made light of, but we have a method and a technique and a God-given design on how to handle that. We've been handling that for years. This includes knowledge of a new understanding, a better understanding, not maybe new, but an advanced understanding of how sin in my members works. And that little chart that we had that showed the vexing by the seeing and the hearing, we're understanding more of how access is gained into our human spirit. We're understanding something more about ourselves and how lust, how sin in our members is going to operate and tempt and attempt to involve me in the works of darkness. And lastly, it includes the knowledge of my Father's own godly hatred. And this is the big one, his hatred, his abhorrence, and his disdain for the works of darkness. And that same godly hatred, abhorrence, and disdain for the works of darkness effectually working within my inner man to its highest degree. That's what putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is here. Now, I know that's a lot of words. I know that's real wordy. But like I said, it's just on one piece of paper. I can stick that up and look at it, and I can... But I worked hard on that. And I know you. It's unfair to you because you haven't had the time to work hard on it. But folks, this is a really good thing for you to be able to do, is to be able to sit down and put down on paper or type out on whatever, and doesn't matter if you want to save it or not save it, but it forces you to be able to begin to put things, and at first, if it's like me, it's like, well, now wait a minute, that's I'm going off in the toolies here, I don't need that. That's, and start restricting it to exactly what verse 11, 12, and 13 are going to govern, that every thought you have and every thought about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be governed by that. And I think some of the essential things are that it's three verses that has produced a conformity to the image of God's Son that is going to work to defend my armor of light against the adversary's attacks. That's the most basic concept of what putting on the armor of light in this context is. And I think the four things I mentioned that it involves, I don't know if I would go back over these and say, well, one's not necessary, but I think it includes knowledge of what the works of darkness are about, how the adversary uses them to his advantage, to produce his night, keep his night maintained. I think it intelligently, you've got to say it includes the knowledge of the subversive tactics. What am I supposed to expect from his methodology? And that's not really something brand new to us. That's something that we've really gone and looked at, but we had some knowledge of that. But that's important here to know how, what our enemies, like I said, it's kind of a little condensed Know Thy Enemy booklet or manual, how he's going to attempt to dim our light. It includes, thirdly, a better knowledge of my own sin and my own members, and how lust now is to be discerned. Somebody brought up discernment and understanding, the parts of the armor. Yeah, it's hard not to include that in there because that's such a big thing. To be able to know myself better and to know how a lust-based enticement is going to arise and what to do about it. What it's going to try to get me involved in. And, of course, I think one of the biggest issues is the fourth issue that I wrote down, which is the issue of generating the godly hatred and disdain for those works of darkness and having my father's zeal and enthusiasm for him soon judging those things and putting that on display when we shine our light upon those works of darkness, expose them for what they are. It's not just, ah, ha, ha, I see you, but it's exposing them for what they are and saying, you're going to be soon gone, buddy. The zeal of the Lord will perform this, like we saw back in Isaiah. I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. Of taking, I don't know how many hours of Bible class and distilling it down on one sheet of paper, a little sheet of paper at that, and being able to say, that's what, but if push came to come to shove and somebody was to say, what does that mean, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd have to say, well, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 13:14 is a measure of my conformity to the image of Christ based upon verses 11, 12, and 13 that allows for my armor to be defended from the attacks of the policy of evil, my armor of light. And his attacks are not to destroy my armor of light. His attacks are to dim it. And every time I check myself and see, and you'll be able to check and see, are you at that level of disdain for those works of darkness, and you see that maybe you've capitulated, maybe the packaging is starting to look more attractive to you, and go along to get along is a lot easier path to take, let's talk about the benefits. Let's not talk about the sin that's in the package. When those things occur, this is where you're going to go to get that back up in its place. You're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to put on verse 11, 12, and 13, that the conformity that produced to get that godly disdain back to where it should be. Any questions or comments? Make sense? Keeps it in that context. And when we get to that phrase, and make not provision for the flesh, every one of those words is directed by and has to do with the immediate context of what you just went over. So when we talk about flesh there, we're not talking about the flesh as we understood it back in chapter 6 or 7. Even though that's the basis for which we understand it here. But this is a part of our flesh that now is being gone after by the adversary's policy of evil. that has to do with works of darkness and our dimming our light in connection with them. The lust as well. Well, that takes us about out of time. But this is probably one of the most important classes we've had in all of this. Yeah.
And understanding, I mean, we, of course, we've been through Romans 8:39, so nothing can separate us from it, but he's the, I mean, this is very, very wise on his part.
Yeah, you think?
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And to understand it is very beneficial.
Yeah. Right. Because, yeah, like you say, you can see where he would, the I mean, this now has got a major threat to his.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard for him to stop this man. You know, it's like the momentum is building.
Right. And to from the adversary's point of view, to it would be to his chagrin for believers to do this, for sons to intelligently operate, put this into operation in this world, because he knows where it's going. It's going to leave this world one day, and it's going to have an impact in the heavenly realm one day. And horror of horrors, to his point of view and the adversary's point of view, is what comes up next in chapter 14. It's one thing to lose you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to lose you to God the Father, but he can't afford to lose any more. And the very next chapter starts dealing with how we're going to deal with weaker brothers, so that everything that we do is based upon their godly edifying to be able to continue on. And that means there's going to be more like us. And he don't want more like us. He loves cultural Christianity. Oh, how cultural Christianity serves Satan. I mean, it is in his hip pocket. It's exactly what he wants. All the choir singing and all the praise and worship and big churches and all of that just plays right into his hand. Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to look and see, and right now some of those things are very dim in my sight way out there, but I start to be able to see more and more there's real incredible wisdom in the way and reason why my Father teaches me this way. Well, I'm going to wait until we go into this for when we get together next time, which is going to be a week from tonight on a Wednesday. But I want to leave you with something. You mentioned something Kenneth had written in the new book, handbook on godly love and charity. And there was one thing that he said there that really caught my eye in the preliminary. And I think that comes into play here, because what we're dealing with here, you remember, is I would have to go back. These are my cheat sheets up here, going all the way back to the table of contents. Yeah. These skills that we're learning here, the wisdom, the justice, the judgment, and the equity, we've learned this judgment now, and something that Kenneth said rings so true, and he's a much better at articulating than I am. But what we've got, folks, and the reason why this class is so important, and your ability, not your ability to be able to sit out there and say, okay, whew, I made it through a whole bunch of Bible classes, we finally got to the end of Romans 13, yay, we crossed the finish line. That's not the point here. That's why many Christians who probably many, many, if there are many, who ever tune into our website to listen, and they see how many Bible classes are in the book of Romans itself, this is one of the reasons why most of them will never ever give us a second thought. Because I am not in the least bit concerned about making time and going through every verse of the Bible. My concern is that this really does work in you. I'm not concerned about just teaching you a bunch of Bible classes, but you're part of my body and I'm part of yours. And as much as I want my liver to work right, I want you to work right. As much as I want my lungs to function properly, I want you to function properly. And every other organ, my heart, my brain, my pancreas, doesn't matter what it is, as a body, we've got to function together, because there's more than just our individual edification at stake. And that's why I thought I'd leave you with something Kenneth wrote that I think is very provocative, and something that most Christians, and like I said, even most of those who will ever listen to us on the internet, won't stay very long because of. And it's this. He said in one particular portion of what he wrote in the preliminary, he said, learning a skill and deploying a skill, and then he put in parentheses, two practices which must be distinguished. And they do. They must be distinguished. A skill learned won't get you anything. You could sit out there and learn all about heart surgery and know it forwards and backwards like the greatest surgeon in the world. But learning a skill and deploying the skill are two different things. You can't deploy it until you learn it. But most of the time, the idea that most saints have is just learning it's enough. Not in sonship. Not with your Heavenly Father in mind. Learning a skill and deploying a skill, he says, mesh one with another through practical work, not force of will. That's well said. It is very difficult. Learning a skill and deploying a skill mesh one with another. You need them both. And where do they mesh? Where's the point of contact? Through practical work and not through force of will. And by the way, that distinguishes us from a whole bunch of churches where you go out and you knock on doors because it's Thursday night, visitation night, and I hate doing this, but knock, 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 do you know Jesus? Here's the pamphlet. Thank you very much for not shooting me. And then they go off the porch. Many Christians, their whole life is based upon force of will. That is legalism. But for a son, learning a skill and deploying it, mesh one with another through practical work, not force of will. That's why your Father gives you in every single aspect of godliness practical work, labor. And the practical work for you is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, making not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. If you want to be successful in battle, and you're going to take the skill that you just learned, godly judgment, and you're going to utilize it for what your Father taught it to you in the first place, it's not just going to ever be just a skill learned. It's going to be a learned skill, and it's going to be a skill that is deployed. It's actually doing what it's designed to do. And that's why I spent time there Sunday talking about fellowship, communion, sonship, prayer, and what these things do to involve you in it. You've got to be involved in it. But I thought that was really well said. I was trying to think of what it was Paul said to Timothy about a phrase that is worthy of all acceptation. I got one of those once in 10 years from Keith. I said something and he said, Well, that is a saying, that's something, that's a saying worthy of all acceptation. Well, that is too. That's marvelously said, and as well as many other things that Ken has said. But anyway, I just thought of that because that's what we're coming down to. And we cannot leave this as just something that we've learned, but it's something that we've acquired as a skill, and through practical work, we're deploying it. And it's tough to do that when you can't explain what it is you're doing. And you've got it. That's why I thought, well, let's spend a class making sure we can explain what it is we're doing.
And it has to be our own words. Because if I yeah. have to remember what you said, I'll never be able.
Nah.
So I have to assimilate it.
Yeah.
And it has to come out with my own words
mm-hmm.
to be able
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah. And more importantly, when we do things like this, the thing that should be done immediately when I'm asking, for instance, well, tell me what putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is, probably the first thing I should see everybody's heads do is go right to the Bible and right to that section, kind of putting your blinders on and saying, okay, I'm going to keep everything I say within that section, because that's what it's talking about. That's what's governing every word that there is in that phrase. And whether or not we want to say, well, this is based on something a long time ago, we know that now. But we need to now restrict it to exactly what, that's the corralling of our thoughts into the way our Father has taught us, and that's reflective of the acquiring of a greater conformity to the image of Christ than we had before we even started verse 11. Because we have been conformed into the image of Christ in a way we never have before. That has to do with understanding the adversary and the battle that he's engaged in. Anybody want to sing a song? Okay. Anybody got anything else to add? I hope it wasn't a waste of time tonight. Thought that was very important that we kind of covered that. All right. Well, I can't help who's here and who's not. So next Wednesday night, be prepared for Make Not Provision for the Flesh. If you want to do a little work, and probably some of you already have, check out that word provision. And that's a marvelous word, because that's the only time it occurs in our curriculum. The word is only used twice in the New Testament. Well, I say it's used twice. That's not quite true. The Greek word is used twice. This is the only time in the whole New Testament the word provision is used. The other time is a time in Acts when it was translated providence. But if you want to gain some help on that outside of some good dictionaries and things, take a look at the first time it was ever used in the Bible. There's a little clue in there as to what God means when he's talking about provision. All right. Anything else before we end? I really appreciate it. This was great. I love this class. All right. We'll stop right there with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship one with another over something that really and truly does redeem the time. And we thank you, Father, for your word and for its effectual power to produce in us your heart, and that we might be able to put on display and deploy that heart and allow that to be exercised in this world in which we live. We thank you, Father, for all the provisions of grace to enable us to do that. We thank you for the cross of Christ. We just pray that your wisdom continues to prevail in our thinking, that as we contemplate and ponder these things, that we would align our thoughts up with yours, make sure that we're within the confines of what you have taught us, so that we truly are going to be beneficial, not only ambassadors of Christ, but good soldiers of Jesus Christ in this battle in which we're engaged. We pray once again for your grace, for your wisdom in all of these matters, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.